Good morning. It's always a blessing. You know, I told you last week that the little challenge I was dealing with the week before we met was not being able to picture you and not knowing how the sanctuary was going to look. And the blessing of having been here last week is that all week long, I have been able to picture you. I have been able to just see you in my mind's eye. And that has been a blessing. And I'm so glad that each one of you are here today. I do have a couple of things that I want to run by you. First, before I forget, that we will not be meeting October 29th. That's the day that they're going to need to be preparing the sanctuary for the Harvest Festival. So just have that on your calendar. But add to your calendar a new study that we're going to have, and it's a four-week study. It's an evening study, and it's called Train Up a Child. This is what the flyer will look like, so you'll be able to find it out there. And we're going to have Paula Manser and Judy Pierce and Tawny Jansen and Lisa Varga. They're going to be sharing with you about the challenges of mothering and sharing you the blessings and the burdens, I guess. But that will be an evening meeting, and it will be here in the sanctuary. It will start at 7, and it will go through to 8:30. There will not be childcare. But I would just encourage you moms to come to that, because there's going to be good stuff that you're going to share and be able to glean from these gals who have been there, done that. And the only thing that I also want to say, though, is I know that that's going to make a long Thursday for you, because I don't want you to not come here in the morning because you're going there at night. So how you will do that little trick, I don't know. But I'm going to pray that for those 4 weeks, the Lord will just somehow make it possible so that you don't miss out on either of them, because both are going to be great. And as I said, this is just a four-week study. And so I just so want you to be there. The other little reminder, and I know I had to give it to you several times last year, is for those of you who have kids in childcare, you need to be prompt about getting down there at 11 o'clock to pick them up. Those people have their own lives, you know, and some of them have places they have to be, they need to leave, but they can't leave if your little one is down there. So I just, even as much as I want you to go and have prayer afterwards, if that is something you need, at the same time, be mindful of the fact that you need to be downstairs to pick up your kids at 11. Let's see, I think that is it. Well, I know some of you weren't here last week, because I've already seen some new faces and you told me that you weren't able to, and I'm just so delighted that whether it was because you were out of town or had some other commitment that you made it here this morning. And this is a time I know that the Lord wants to use and wants to bless. And it's a time as we go through Psalm 139 that we're going to be focusing on the fact that the Lord knows us. Maybe if you haven't already turned there, you'd like to turn to Psalm 139. And even as I said last week, I know this is a favorite psalm for a lot of you. And if for any of you it's new, I just know you are going to be blessed by it, because it's such a personal psalm. And for me, it's always been one of my favorites. In the first six verses, we're talking about, or we're seeing, the omniscience of God. The fact that he is an all-knowing God. We read last week, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And today we'll look at verse 2. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. I was so sure that I was going to get through at least verse 4 today. And then the Lord just showed me that he had other directions. So it will be totally unpredictable because it's not known to me how the Lord is going to lead us. Maybe some weeks we will take 4 verses. But for today, even as with last week, we're looking at that one verse. But I think that there was enough to be said in it, and that's why I couldn't go further. I shared last week how, in many ways, Psalm 139 is like a love letter from David to his Lord. It's such a personal letter. You know, here he is speaking to his God, the creator of the universe, the creator of him. And he is saying, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And then he goes on to say, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. It's an amazing thing to think that he knows all things about us. The very thought that he knows when we sit and when we rise. I was thinking, so when would we like the thought of him really knowing when we're sitting? That was kind of a no-brainer, because wouldn't we all like to think that he knows when we're sitting and having our devos? That is, we're there reading his word. He sees. He knows. You know, I love the thought that he wants to have that time with us. And I don't think I'll ever be able to have a study with women that I don't touch on the importance of devos. And I know that it's challenging for you moms who have small ones, but there's just no way around it if you want to know the Lord. I mean, think of human relationships. There's no way around spending time with a person to get to know them. You wouldn't expect to know a person if you didn't spend big chunks of time with them. And it's the same thing in our time with the Lord. We need to have that time with him and to realize that he wants that time with us too. I love the picture in my mind of sitting and reading, and while I'm reading, that he's breathing life into the words I'm reading, almost like nudging me if I miss something that he wants me to see. I'm sure every one of you have experienced that as well. So I just want to encourage you. You know, I know sometimes I'll hear, well, you know, I'm just not a morning person. Well, I want to tell you, I was never a morning person either. But when I realized the importance of that time, of starting the day with the Lord, I just asked him, I said, Lord, only you can make this possible. You know, first, you know I hate alarms. And so I asked him, I said, Lord, would you wake me up 5 minutes before my alarm should go off? And he started waking me up 5 minutes before my alarm went off. That in itself was a huge help, because that was speaking to me the fact that he was waking me up. He was answering my prayer. But the second part, of course, of waking up is then getting up. So I asked the Lord, would you give me a picture that will help me to actually get out of bed? And he immediately gave me a picture of him sitting downstairs in my little wing chair, waiting for me. And I will tell you, that combination did wonders. I would wake up 5 minutes before my alarm went off, and then immediately I would have that picture in my mind that he was downstairs waiting for me. I was able to just get up and get downstairs. The other nice little thing was that, and this was before there were, you know, all these wonderful coffee makers that have their own time, you know, whatever they're called. And I bought a little thing that I plugged into the wall that I plugged my coffee pot into so that it was on a timer. And when I would walk into the kitchen, the coffee would just be finishing. So it was like this great combination that awaited me, you know, and it really helped me to get up. I know that there are different times that we can have our devotions in the course of the day. I know that. Some of you, especially with the little kids, your time is when your kids are napping. But I also know, just in my own life, any time I've tried to make that time at another time in the day, for me personally, the day gets away. I have every intention of having that time with the Lord, but the day gets away. We need that time. And I encourage you, if you're one of those people who would be saying right now, yeah, but I really, really am not a morning person, then I would just say I would really, really encourage you to talk to the Lord about it. See what he will do. See how he will solve your problem, because I am totally convinced that he will. I love the thought that he wants to be with us, that he loves to spend time with us. And it makes me feel bad to think that, and I know I'm not the only one, that there are times that I can come and I can pick up the Bible, and rather than looking at it as, oh, this is my time with the Lord, in truth I look at it as if we're a daily assignment. And I have personally experienced that more since I've been using the one-year Bible. And that is a Bible that I encourage many of you in the past and would encourage you still to use. Because so often when we come and we sit down, we open the Word and we think, oh, where will I read now? Unless you already have that discipline of you know exactly how you're going to read. And the thing that's wonderful with the one-year Bible is you look at your date. Oh, it's the 14th. Okay, and you go to the 14th in your Bible, in the one-year Bible, and there's your reading. It's already been mapped out for you. You have your Old Testament reading. You have your Psalm. You have your Proverb. You have your New Testament reading. And truly, it is a great way to get through the Word. But the danger for me is that I can see it as like a daily reading, a daily assignment. And I ask the Lord to help me in that, because every day is new with him. And the thought of him being there, watching over me as I sit and read his word, I don't want to ever treat it or see it, view it as an assignment. I want to have it as a special time to be with the Lord. The Lord knows what I need each day before I have even gotten into it. It says in Psalm 5, if you can turn there if you wish, the first three verses, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. It says in Proverbs 14:1, A wise woman builds her house. Think of truly the responsibility that the Lord has placed on you. He has given you a spot of great influence in your home, in your community, in your church, in your workplace. And he says, a wise woman builds her home. And to me, it starts with this as your foundation. The word being made real in you, being lived out in your life. Are you building your home? Are you building the relationships in your home? Are you nurturing the relationships of each person in your home, their relationship with the Lord? There are so many ways that we can do that. The Lord wants us to be wise women, to build our homes. Another psalm, just a couple of pages back, Psalm 1. And I'm going to change man to woman. Blessed is the woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But her delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law she meditates day and night. She is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever she does prospers. The fruit it speaks of here is fruit that is produced as we sit. As we sit and spend time with the Lord each day, whether it's reading in his word, whether it's time in prayer. That's how we're going to grow in our own relationship with the Lord. And it will be the fruit of that that will help us to know how to nurture others that we love and care about in their relationship with the Lord. I know that's what we all want. Those of us who have kids, we want to see them love the Lord. Our friends, we care about them. We want to see them know Jesus and to know his love for them. Realize that that is where the fruit starts. What you want more than anything else is that the world would be able to look at you. Your kids would be able to look at you and they would see your love for Jesus. You're living for him, that he's real, that would speak to them. It's great to have little Bible studies with your kids, but let your life speak louder than any words you would ever speak to them. Let them look at your life and know that you are one who loves the Lord and walks with him. Everything good in our lives will be the fruit of our relationship with Jesus. When I sit can also imply waiting. Waiting. Trusting God. You know, think about when one of your kids is chomping at the bit, wanting you to do something and wanting you to do it now. What is the common thing you might say to them? Just sit. Now, you don't mean to literally sit down necessarily. You're wanting them to just wait, to be patient, please. And there are those times, many times in our lives, when the Lord has us in a place that we have to wait. We have to sit. And we might have all sorts of questions we're coming to the Lord with. And for whatever reason, in some of these areas, he's being very quiet. We need to wait. We need to sit. We need to trust him. You know, some of you may be in that exact spot right now. Maybe there are some major decisions on your horizon. Perhaps you feel like the Lord has just been prompting in you that a change is coming, and you don't know what that change is. Or maybe you're talking about things and considering things like whether you should change jobs if you're employed out of the home, whether you should buy a new house, purchase a car. Can be any number of things that would be in your mind, and you're wanting to know what the Lord would tell you on these things, but he's being quiet. He's keeping you waiting. Are you a person who's willing to wait for the Lord? I would encourage you to be wise. Don't act just because, well, I waited and he hasn't shown me. Wait. Sit. Do nothing until you know you have heard from him. Remember, in those times, he knows when I sit and when I rise, and he has not forgotten you. I always suggest master the fine art of waiting. Again, I think that can be the value of age. I know there have been so many times that I have had to wait that he has made waiting far easier because he has shown me over and over and over again he's worth waiting for. His counsel is worth waiting for. I need to resist that inclination to fill in the blank myself. And to be willing to wait, be willing to trust. One of the things that I've learned is to, in those times of needing to wait, to have some favorite verses that I can turn to. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I have that dated multiple times in my Bible, because he has spoken it to me so many times. Another one that I love is Isaiah 30:18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you, therefore the Lord will wait that he might be gracious to you. And the thing that I love about that verse is that whole concept that in my time of waiting, the Lord may also be waiting. He longs to be gracious to me, but he knows whatever it is I'm waiting for needs to wait for the fullness of time. And at just the right time, he answers. But he waits because he longs to be gracious to me. And he longs to be gracious to you. He knows when the timing will be right. So even as the Lord knows when we sit, he knows when we rise. And as wonderful as it is to sit and have quiet times with the Lord, there comes a time when we have to rise to get on with our day. And whether our tasks seem important or menial, how important it is for us to remember that his eye is upon us, that nothing is missed by him. A saying I heard many years ago, but I think it's just so great, is the hard thing about life is it's so daily. And it's true. We can just go from one day to the next doing what we have to do, and sometimes that's all we do. And sometimes we only do it to the level that we have to do it. When the Lord wants us to do everything as unto him. Again, I know when you have small children, it's a different story. It's a different phase in your life. I remember when my twins were little, my mode of getting by each day was just get me through this day. I mean, truly, to do the laundry, to do the housework, to keep them fed and clothed, let alone, oh, dinner tonight as well. You know, that took everything I could give at that particular time in my life. The Lord knows that. So don't feel guilty when you find yourself in that season of life where every single day requires every single thing that you can do just to get through it. But do realize it's just that. It's a season. And it will not last forever. Ask the Lord to help you to understand and have a little perspective, to realize that even in things that to you might seem nothing holy, nothing beautiful about it, can be precious to the Lord. When I was thinking about this, I had two pictures immediately come to my mind. One was of Marna when she and Tad first went to Vanuatu. And I went to visit them. And life in Vanuatu, especially then, was really hard. There was no electricity. There was no many, many things that we just take for granted. One of those things that we don't think about that much is running water. They didn't have that. And I remember waking up, and this was pre-dawn. It was probably around 5 o'clock. And I would hear this sound of a plop. And it was Marna dropping the water bucket down into the well. She'd drop it down, fill it up, and pull it up. There was no nice little crank to even help pull it up. She pulled it up by hand. She'd fill the other jugs with it, plop, it would go back down. And then all day long, what we'd do is whenever we had a moment where we were sitting, we were purifying that water, putting it into bottles where we could use it to drink and to use in cooking. But that was an all-day project. When she came back from Vanuatu, she was so strong. But, you know, she would say of that time, oh, you know, I loved it. And Marna did love it. That was her joy. I also thought of my daughter, Melinda. They have now been in China for, I think, coming up on 13 years. The first place they live in a different city now, was Harbin. And that's northern China, and it's very, very cold. It gets to be 40 below. And they lived on the, I think it was the 6th floor. And that's a 6th-floor walk-up, by the way, with 3 little boys. And she was there knowing no one and living again. Yes, they had electricity, but life was not easy for her either. And she had a washing machine, but it was an exceedingly small washing machine that she had to fill by hand with water. And if she wanted to have warm water, which because there was so much coal in the air, believe me, the clothes got really dirty and they needed the warm water, she had to fill it, put a big pot on the stove, heat up that pot, and then truly I was watching her. She'd have to walk from the kitchen through the living room carrying one of these huge stock pots of hot water into the bathroom where the washing machine was, fill that, go back and do the same process till she had enough water to start the laundry. And I remember watching her when I visited her and thinking, how I take for granted going to my machine, turning it on, whatever temperature I want, starting it and walking away. Well, it wasn't too long after that. I was back in the States, and I this time lived in Southern Oregon, and I went out to a Friday night worship. And it was just a meeting that the Applegate used to have where there was nothing but worship, kind of in a lot of ways like our Sunday nights. And I went out, and I was just sitting there, and it was one of those wonderful, wonderful nights. And my daughter Melinda loves to sing. She loves worship. And that was the other thing that was so hard, is they didn't even have a body of believers there that they really had a kinship with, you know, that they felt like they were of one mind and one heart. Well, here I am. I've now been to China, and I've been back for several months, and I'm out at this Friday night, and the worship is wonderful. And in the middle of that time of worship, I thought, oh, Lord, Melinda would love this so much. And I just kind of said to him in the middle, you know, how does she worship you there in China? It was just this little musing, you know. Immediately, he gave me the picture of her walking through the living room, carrying the big bucket of hot water. I burst into tears. I wanted to share that even with friends. I couldn't share it at the time. I was so moved, because what the Lord showed me was there are so many ways to worship the Lord. And yes, we love the feeling that we get when we're worshiping and the music is beautiful. I loved what we sang this morning. That's always a blessing for us. But what we need to recognize is that there are other things where we don't even perceive it as worship, but it's blessing God. It's glorifying Him with our lives. And truly, that so changed my whole perspective on what she was dealing with in life, and helped me to be able to realize that, okay, maybe it's not the life that this mother wants for her, but it is the life the Lord has. And the Lord did wonderful things in Melinda during that time. It says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Can you see that and allow it to give worth to whatever you are doing right now in life? And it may seem so menial, so ho-hum to you, but it is not to Him. And I just so pray that you see that. I also know that there are times that we have in life where our burdens seem very heavy. And I do know that there are several here who are in that place. And I'm so glad that you would come out to a study. Even though there are things in your life that are heavy, weighty things, the enemy would love you to curl up in a corner and never go out. But you're here, and I just pray so much that the Lord uses this time to encourage you, to comfort you, to reassure you that He knows. That's what we're going to see over and over again in the psalm. He knows. Some of you might be dealing with serious financial issues, or maybe going through a divorce you never wanted. Maybe you have a prodigal and it's breaking your heart. or there could be health issues that you're dealing with yourself personally or with a loved one. But those things can be heavy, really heavy. So whether it's finances, whether it's a prodigal, whether it's health, you might even be mourning a loss. I know when you look at these many women, there are any number of things that we're all dealing with. He knows. Those are the times that we would probably all prefer to just be able to sit, to just be able to soak in the word and do not another thing. And yet those are also the times when we have to rise. And the Lord knows that. Remind yourself, He knows when I sit and when I rise. The Lord told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." He will be your strength. In Isaiah 46:4, it says, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." He will sustain you. And then in Psalm 62:5, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him." He will give you hope. He knows whatever you're in need of. And He is an all-sufficient, all-present, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And nothing is too hard for Him. Not even whatever it is that you are dealing with this day. Whatever is the weight that is on your heart, He knows. Consciously choose to surrender each day to the Lord. Consciously let go of your plans and ask for His. Ask Him to help you to reflect Him rightly to your family, to your friends, so that they will know Him better. He knows every person who's going to be in your path today and tomorrow and the day after that. And how wonderful if you'd be one of those people who, when someone sees you coming, it just lifts their heart. It just encourages them. Because they know that if they get to talk to you, you're one who will encourage. You're one who will bless. And it's because you know God. What a comfort for us to be able to share with other people that He knows us. Now for the last part of verse 2, "You perceive my thoughts from afar." There's a quote I shared last week, and I just liked it too much. I've got to share it again. "The Lord knows us as thoroughly as if He had examined us minutely and had pried into the most secret corners of our being." And you tell me, what is more secret than our thoughts? Yet He knows. It says, "He knows my thoughts from afar." He knows my thoughts before I've had them, and He remembers them when I have long forgotten them. Psalm 94, verses 9 and 11. "Does He who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? The Lord knows the thoughts of man. He knows that they are futile. Our thoughts are hugely important. And I thought it would be so easy to get off on a whole teaching just on that alone. And yet, the focus today is on the fact that he knows our thoughts. Whenever you find yourself having thoughts that you know are not pleasing to God, stop them, mid-sentence, so to speak. The minute you know, whether it's a picture that's playing or a thought that comes to mind that you know would not please the Lord, stop it. Take it captive. That's another whole teaching in itself. But if you don't take your thoughts captive, they will captivate you. What are the thoughts that are not pleasing to him? Well, many. Critical thoughts, mean thoughts, selfish thoughts, prideful thoughts. Just stop the mid-sentence. Don't even let it complete itself in your brain. And confess it to the Lord. Just say, oh God, I am so sorry. Please forgive me for that and take my brain down a different road. And he will. And there are days that you might have to just say that prayer multiple times. Maybe you look at someone and you find yourself kind of being judgmental about them. There's this critical thought that just immediately you have when you just see this person, whoever it is, and it could be a person you know, it could be a person you have no idea who they are, but the minute that thought starts, just stop it and say, God, forgive me. You love that person. You died for that person. Forgive me for thinking that way. And help me to think the thoughts that you want me to have. The Lord will help you, and you will know he's helping you when you're not having to pray that prayer multiple times every single day. But remind yourself, he knows your thoughts. Knows them when they're still afar. I'm so glad that the Lord has given us a wonderful prescription for our thought life. And maybe many of you already have it underlined. If you don't, go to it, please, Philippians 4. If you don't have it underlined, you should, because it's too great. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What could be clearer than that? What could tell us in a more succinct way what we are to think about? I have written that on a 3x5 card multiple times over the years. And at different times, I put it on my nightstand. Other times, I tuck it in my Bible. Other times, I have it over my kitchen sink. But it's a wonderful grid to go by and to use when you know how the Lord wants you to think. He knows when we sit. He knows when we rise. He knows every thought. And you know, when you consider those things, it can be kind of intimidating, even scary. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from him. But what is going to be so wonderful as we go through this psalm? Yes, we're going to see clearly how well he knows us. But we're also going to see how much he loves us. And his love is a love that is certain. Let's pray. Lord, I do give you thanks for this morning and for this day, for each woman that you brought here today. Lord, as I look out and just know little snippets from different people's lives that I see, Lord, what a comfort it is to know that you know, that you love them, that you're with them right now in the middle of whatever it is that they are dealing with. Lord, bless us. Help us to know you better and to love you more. Help us, Lord, to purpose to take that time every day. If possible, to start our day that way with you. Hearing from you, being encouraged by you, being strengthened by you. But we would pray for your will to be done in our lives. And if we're in a place where we're waiting to see what that will is, Lord, let us trust you. Let us remember that you long to be gracious to us. And if you have us waiting, you're worth waiting for. In Jesus' name, amen.